So primary considerations for the parties, and we'll dive into this in more detail when we talk about some specific provisions of the collateral assignments. But the borrower, when looking at the collateral assignments, is going to be interested in making sure it's clear and that lender cannot simply step in immediately and start managing the deal. So borrower wants to make sure that there's a key point when lender may step into its shoes. Lender, on the other hand, you know, is similarly interested in making sure that it's very clear when it can exercise its rights under the primary loan documents and when it will be, you know, controlling and managing those third parties. In addition, a lender probably wants to make sure that it's very clear what obligations it will have to those third parties once it takes over. So it wants to know what it has to pay for, whether it's everything that happened pre-foreclosure or just what happens after. And it also wants to make sure that it, you know, the terms are clear when it takes over so that those third parties know who to look for to direct them on what to do. And lastly, from the third party's perspective, they're probably most interested in getting paid. The last thing that a contractor wants is to be working on a project and for the borrower to default and the lender to take over, or maybe a new owner to take over. And the third party is in this position where it's not sure it's going to get paid for everything that it did prior to lender or that new owner's takeover of the deal. So third parties and borrower's counsel, if it's representing those integrated third parties, really wants to make sure that it gets paid for all the work it does, including potentially work that may be in addition to what was initially foreseen if any foreclosure leads to additional costs. If the work has to be delayed and they have to leave the site or come back or incur additional expenses, third parties, you know, borrower's counsel really wants to make sure that they get paid. So first, we'll look at the collateral assignment of a construction contract. And in along with this PowerPoint presentation, there's a short paper and also some excerpts from actual collateral assignments. So you can take a look at that later and you can see some of where these provisions that I'll discuss fit in to that part of the document. Typically, these are form-based between the borrower and the construction company. Really, and the lender will primarily draft it to begin with. If the contractor is vertically integrated with the borrower, there's a potential to be more flexible. And typically, these get executed contemporaneously with the closing. As I mentioned earlier, it's very important to be consistent among the primary loan documents and some of these ancillary loan documents like collateral assignments. So one way that we think it's helpful to simplify these documents is to simply point to the primary loan documents when using defined terms. The collateral assignments are much shorter than some of the other loan documents, and there's no reason that they can't be simpler. And making sure that terms are consistent throughout is an easy way to avoid drafting errors and also just simplify the process for all parties. Here we have a provision that deals with you know, potential interruption of work that would affect you know, what happens after a lender may take over the project or a new owner may take over the project. So as I was mentioning earlier, the contractor and any third party, one of their primary considerations is to make sure that they get paid for everything they do under their construction agreement and anything they do pre or post foreclosure or default by the borrower. And one way to help protect their ability to get paid is not only to make sure that the collateral assignments guarantee that they get paid for the work that they do, but it's also to keep them, they include provisions that keep them apprised of what's going on. So adding more detailed notice provisions or just making sure that notice provisions are there so that contractor is aware of what's going on is helpful. Additionally, like I had mentioned earlier, it may be helpful to add in a provision that ensures contractor gets paid for any additional reasonable costs that are incurred in connection with a default by the borrower. So like other potential revisions, I think this helps clarify by providing notice to the parties, and it also clarifies that contractor will continue to get paid for what it's owed under the contract, but also in connection with lender's exercise of its rights under the loan documents to take over the project.